You are back on the Rubicon with James Lewis, Sirius XM Channel 141. I have Mark Pensley on the line. We're trying to get as many individuals as possible that are either in Congress or in the Senate or running for seats in the upcoming midterm elections. We have so many things that we've been talking about on this program that are politically charged. But it's important to have leaders in their respective communities come on and discuss what future administrations are going to do with healthcare. Healthcare is such a major component. And I think ultimately, Mark, I think one day we're going to have a healthcare president. I think we're going to have someone that's a healthcare guru that's going to be president of the United States. But Mark Pensley, he is currently running for Congress in Pennsylvania. He's in a very important district north of Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley area, which I'm very, very familiar with. And this is a swing state. This is a very critical state, not just for the House and the Senate, but general elections as well coming up in 2028. So thank you, Mark, for giving us a few minutes of your time to come in and chat with me briefly.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to be here. Yeah, not only just a swing state, a swing district too.
Let the audience know about your background. I mean, I know that thank you for your service. We're very supportive of the military on this program. So thank you for your service to the country. But tell us about your background. When you were 8 years old, did you say that, hey, I'm going to serve my country and that I'm going to be involved? You've been in high finance and leadership roles for many years in your district, and now you're actually running for Congress. How did you get into this particular line of service? And tell us a little bit about yourself, your background.
Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate it. So I was just thinking, when I was 8 years old, my father was teaching me how to program on a Sinclair ZX81, which I'm sure most of your listeners don't know even what that was.
I have no idea what that is myself.
But it was like one of the first, like, you know, PC computers that you actually could afford to take home. And I learned how to program there. And no, at that time, you know, who knew what I was going to be doing? You know, what I ended up doing really originally was, you know, I went to college. I went into the service, you know, to also help pay for college, quite frankly. I went to a local state school here in Pennsylvania called Kutztown University. I had gone for 3 years and ran out of money. So I ended up getting a job up in Boston where I worked during the day and then go to school at night. So instead of getting done in 4 years, it took me 8 years to graduate. And I focused on finance and marketing. And then from there, I just had a very fortunate life, quite honestly. You know, I started my own business, raised some angel capital to do that. I ended up selling that company. Eventually, I ended up working for two large companies. One was called Avial, which is now owned by Boeing, where I got to fly around the world. I was the vice president of marketing and business development. We were kind of like the eBay industry for aviation. So if you had a plane that was down and you needed a black box right now, you know, we could tell you where that black box was and you could go purchase it. And then later I worked for a company called DSM out of the Netherlands, and I was the global product manager for personalized nutrition. You know, and our goal was to just help people get healthier. We had 20,000 employees, and then we also commercialized it and took it out to other large companies just, you know, to get them to be healthier. Eventually, I ended up buying my own little company, which was in the skincare industry. And then eventually, you know, Donald Trump came into power. And, you know, he was talking about the Mexicans and the Muslims. And frankly, I'm Jewish. So it really offended me. And I just decided I wanted to get into politics. So if nothing else, one of the things that Trump did, I think he got a lot of people into politics that probably wouldn't have been in politics. And I don't know, I think it has been good. I ended up first running for my local township commissioner, which I won. I was the first Democrat to win in over 20 years. And then I was asked by the party to run for some positions, and one of them being controller, which is what I am now. And the controller is basically like an auditor position. You know, people typically don't know what it is. Although now I walk into a room, I'm like, does everybody know what DOGE is? And everybody's like, yeah. I'm like, right. Okay, well, that's what we're about. Fraud, waste, and abuse. Except we hire CPAs, not 19-year-olds.
So tell us a little bit about, if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Mark Pensley. He is stationed in Allentown, Pennsylvania. He's running for a congressional seat in upcoming midterm elections, has a very illustrious background, has served his country with the military. Tell us a little bit about some of the challenges that your base is seeing in their personal lives and pertaining to healthcare.
Well, you know, yeah, in particular, I mean, healthcare has become really expensive. You know, when I owned my own company, you know, we were seeing costs go up nearly 30% every year. And, you know, part of the problem with that, of course, is, you know, you don't want to have to take it away from your employees after you've been offering it. But then also what ends up happening is you end up, you know, negotiating with your broker, right? So like, okay, well, what if I raise their, you know, their copay? What if I raise the amount that they pay? What if, like, you're trying to do everything you can to balance between providing good, you know, good quality healthcare for your employees, but also not having to pay, you know, 30% more each year. And so, especially for small businesses, you know, we were 15 people, but, you know, you could anything less than 500 people, you know, it's a massive struggle to do that. And one of the nice things for me is like, so as I moved out of my own business and into the controller position, I was very focused on healthcare. And so I got a chance to come into as a controller and really learn, like, so what's going on? Why is it costing so much? And what is it we can do about it? So as a county, for example, we spend about $30 million a year on healthcare for our employees. And like, so one of the things that people may not understand is, you know, you get your insurance card, like Highmark, right? And you walk in and you assume Highmark pays the bill. But, you know, for large companies, we self-insure. And so we're not using Highmark as an insurance company, but just as a like an administrator.
Yeah, TPA.
So, you know, you present your card, and when you get to the, you know, you can think of it almost like a credit card in that sense. You know, you present it to the hospital, and instead of Highmark paying the bill, Lehigh County government pays the bill. So, like, that's step one. So because we are self-insured, it gives me access to a lot of data and a lot of payment information, and I get to actually see what's happening. And so one of my first audits, we really broke it in half, about $30 million or into two pieces, I really should say. So one was on the pharmacy side, and the other was on the healthcare / hospital side. And on the pharmacy side, for example, you know, what I found was, well, one of the first things I did, you know, let's say that you had gone you know, to your pharmacist and you bought a $100 drug and you paid your, you know, your $10 copay, which would mean that Lehigh County was paying that remaining $90. So I went to the insurance company and I was like, look, can you show me that the $90 I paid to you got all the way to the pharmacist? I want to see you pay that $90 to the pharmacist. And they were like, you know, sir, I can't do that. What do you mean you can't do it? Like, that's what we're paying you for, right? We're paying you to administer. We're not paying you to take money off the top. You know, and then I went to the pharmacist and I basically asked the same question. I'm like, look, I know that he paid $10. We paid the $90. Can you tell me that you received the $90? No, sir, I can't tell you that because we have a non-disclosure with, you know, the insurance company.
Right.
So now I know they're taking,
which happens in the system all the time. It's up to, so you're speaking as someone who's been a healthcare executive for many years, for the listeners, what Mark is describing is exactly what's the problem with healthcare is you don't have transparency. You know what's coming in, but you don't know where it's going. You really don't know if the copay and all of the portion that's paid by either the insurer or the member themselves, you have no transparency and line of sight. So you really don't truly know who's actually getting that payout and if it's consistent with how your benefits are structured.
Exactly. And that becomes a problem, right? Because now they're taking money off the top that they shouldn't necessarily be taking, right? Like, that's as a buyer, that's not what we're paying them for. Now, I understand that that's how they make money on top of the administration fees that they charge us, but that's not how I want them to make money, right? Like, I want to, as you had said, I want them to be transparent on exactly how they're making money and exactly, you know, the amount that we're paying to them and anybody else paying them, even the pharmacist. You know, many of these pharmacists, quite honestly, I mean, they are really taking the hit because in many cases, they're not being paid the cost of the drug. They're being paid less than the cost of the drug, and they're supposed to make it up, if you will, on other things. And that's why we don't see nearly as many independent pharmacists anymore, right? They can't afford to stay afloat.
And you have to be consistent with the formulary at the health plan level. So if the health plan that if you're in a place where you have one major payer or one major hospital group that has 70% of the members or patients in that area, you really have to lay down with whatever their formulary is. If you're prescribing something that's outside of their formulary, the member doesn't have the ability to procure that drug. We saw a lot of that with COVID. Very interesting discussion with Mark Pensley. I want to pivot a little bit. What are some of the other things that are on your ticket and philosophies that you want to put into place if you're elected and come to D.C.?
Yeah, I mean, still staying on the sort of the healthcare framework. I mean, I'm a big believer in Medicare for all, or universal healthcare, or single payer, whatever you want to call it. You know, and the reason being is because I've seen all this waste. And what I've seen recently, or one of the things that we went through recently with the new big, beautiful bill, is that there's going to be massive changes to Medicaid. And as controller, I end up spending about $103 million on Medicaid specifically for mental and intellectual disabilities. And I have personal experience with this as my brother is mentally and intellectually disabled. Mm. And so my sister and I have to fill out his eligibility paperwork every year. And it's not easy, right? Like, you know, you got to get all the paperwork together. You know, it's just a constant battle. And so now with the big, beautiful bill, we have to do that twice a year. And he cannot do this, right? Like, this should be clear that there's no way that he could fill out these forms. And then not only do we have to do it twice a year, but we have to do it 12 times a year for the work requirements that we're going to have to fill in every year or every month, rather. And so, like, you know, I see that, like, most of these people are working. My brother is working full time. This is not an issue, right? Like, this is not, he's not stealing from Medicaid, you know, and he only, you know, one of the things you have to realize too, it's not like the money goes to him. It goes directly to the provider. And also it's not like you're paying a monthly fee. You pay when he goes to the provider. So twice a year he goes to the doctor. At most it costs the government, you know, $250 to $500 for his visits. And so, you know, what I believe is that what's going to end up happening is a lot of people are going to fall off Medicaid, and they're going to fall off because they can't fill out the requirements similar to my brother. And maybe they don't have a brother or sister that can do this for them. And, like, you know, one of the things that ended up happening in the big, beautiful bill is some of these navigators, these people that could help you fill it out, like, their services are being reduced as well.
Yeah.
So what's he going to do? So because of that, I say, look, you know, even if we were to have the Senate and the House and the presidency, you know, it's very unlikely that somebody's going to want to put $1 trillion back into any one program, including Medicaid. And so I believe the next step forward is to go to Medicare for all, where you don't have the work requirements. Everybody has access to the same, you know, level of support. And you use all of that money and savings in order to help everyone in the United States. And it's, look, you know, like, I see the numbers. I know that this is very doable and actually would be less expensive than what we're paying right now.
Where can my listeners find you? I know that you do, obviously, you're raising money. What is your website? What's your information where people can find you and reach out to you personally, reach out to your staff, and donate to your campaign?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. So it's votemarkpinsley.com. So votemarkpinsley.com is my website. And that's P with a P as in Peter. I get a lot of T's in there, but votemarkpinsley.com is a great place to contact us and also to donate and anything they can do to help. And of course, sending information about what they feel is important, because I'm always interested in learning to see what others are interested in.
Hypertension and heart disease, autism, postpartum depression, breast cancer awareness, insurance premiums, HIV testing, root canals, racism, sexism, medicinal marijuana, risk management, yoga, food deserts, Medicare and Medicaid services, domestic violence, obesity, anxiety and depression, DEI, alcoholism, insulin, dopamine addiction, big pharma, and of course, politics. The Rubicon, healthcare for the culture.
When you feel invisible, exhausted, stressed, or anxious, when you have days that just feel too hard to get through, you are not alone. If you or someone you love is struggling with mental health or problems with drugs or alcohol, help is right in your hands. Call or text 988 to connect with a National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline specialist and get support whenever you need it. Help is here. Call or text 988.
James Lewis.
You dislike the decisions that I've made.
They have a poor impact. I feel like CEOs or people managing hospitals should be somebody who has a license.
But what about so you should not be able to not if you manage don't have a hospital if you don't have a nursing license.
Not a nursing license. It could be an MD.
I've worked with people that said that to me when I've been in executive roles. They're like, well, you're not a nurse. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm like, you are going to listen to me or you're not going to have a job on Tuesday. Like, it's just, let's work together.
I just don't think they really, people who don't come from that clinical background, who have not been on the front, they don't really have
you don't really respect what I do.
Live from the Paragon 7 Studios. The Rubicon. In 3, 2, 1.
Paragon 7 Studios. If you see someone overdosing from drugs or alcohol, don't run. Call 911. Maryland's Good Samaritan law protects you. You cannot be legally arrested, charged, or prosecuted for using drugs or for simple possession. The person overdosing is protected too. If you see the emergency and choose not to help, the law won't protect you. Be a good Samaritan. Call 911, stay and help. Learn more at stopoverdose.maryland.gov.